So in the end, the Spanish team came through with a convincing victory over England in the final of the Euro Cup. 2-1 was the score. There are no two ways about it. Spain played the best, most exciting, and most dynamic football of the tournament. They won all seven matches without ever having to go to a penalty shootout, scored a record-breaking 15 goals, and just looked the best from beginning to end. It's as simple as that. In the final, in the first half, both sides spent most of the time sort of measuring each other up, but Spain probably played a little better, had better opportunities to score. Then in the second half, Spain scored early, and they kept going. You know, the English could have been down by 2 or 3 goals. Then they did what they've been doing all tournament. They brought in the subs and for a few minutes cranked it up. Cole Palmer scored a magnificent goal to equalize. I honestly don't know why he wasn't a starter from the beginning of this tournament. He, along with Walker, made England a much more dangerous team. But anyway, the Spanish reacted almost immediately and kept pushing forward, and the winning goal came in the 86th or 87th minute, basically at the very end, and it was scored by a Basque player, Oyarzabal. And then we had to pull off a miracle save on the other side to stave off an overtime. Two very dangerous headers, and the second one was blocked by Olmo's head. And that was it. And in the end, you kind of felt bad for England. I know a lot of people didn't, but I did because they have become a bit like the way Spain used to be. Constant letdowns and failures. It's been, 58 years since they last won a major tournament, which was the World Cup in 1966. And you could say, well, they've been to two finals, at least in the Euro Cup. The last two editions, they've made it to the final. But at this stage, anything but victory has pretty much meant failure for this team. And there was a lot of pressure on those young guys. England has a great team. And you get the feeling that with a manager who was a bigger risk taker, maybe they could have come away with the trophy or at least made it more competitive. And the same goes for teams like France. Anyway, in the next couple of weeks, I will stick to a story or two about history and Spanish soccer. I did that last week when we talked mainly about the last 30 years of Spanish football here and how I've lived it and experienced it. Today, I want to tell you quickly about the day Spain needed to score 11 goals in one game to qualify for the 1984 Euros and miraculously did. It was the final game of the qualifying round. There were 5 teams in Spain's group. All the others had completed their 8 games except for Spain and its opponent, Malta. Spain was second behind the Netherlands. If they won, they would have the same record, but that wasn't the problem. The problem was the goal difference, which was the first tie-breaking factor to see who would be number one in the group, and only the first team would go through to the Euro Cup tournament that summer. The Dutch had a whopping 11-goal lead in terms of goal difference. The Spanish would have to equal that if they wanted to qualify, because if they did, then they would have scored more goals for the team, and that would have been enough to qualify. But they still had to score 11 in one game. Now, Malta was not a powerful team by any stretch of the imagination, and everyone expected them to lose. But the difference was almost unreachable. Not impossible, though. For example, Ireland had beaten them 8-0. The Netherlands beat them 5-0, which was a good victory, but, you know, it's still well short of what Spain was looking for. And in fact, Spain, in their first meeting with this team when they played in Malta, they beat them, but it was only a 3-2 game. And a lot of these smaller countries, no matter how weak they are, you know, they know how to play football. So it's tough to score 11 goals on one of these teams. It was basically a Herculean task, to say the least. The game was played on December 21st in 1983 in Seville at the Benito Villamarín Stadium, which is where the team Betis plays. It was packed and the people were excited. Seville is a great place for the Spanish national team to play in. And the game started, and 2 minutes into the game, Spain got a penalty kick called in its favor. So it couldn't have started better, but then they blow it. They miss the kick. A player named Senor missed it, hit the left post, and that was not a good start. Let's remember his name because it's important later on. Then in the 15th minute, Spain scored its first goal, but 9 minutes later, the Maltese tied the score. So we are now 25 minutes into the game, more than halfway through the first half, and the score is tied at one. And it was beginning to look hopeless. Spain would score twice before the half, making it 3-1, but scoring 9 goals in 45 minutes was pretty much impossible. But we would see in the second half, they scored quickly in the 46th minute, and then there was a 10-minute lull before the next goal, and that made it 5-1, but time was ticking away. And then came a trio of goals in just 3 minutes, in minutes 60, 62, and 63. And suddenly the score was 8-1. And for the first time in the game, everyone was beginning to believe that what seemed impossible, this miracle, could actually happen. And then another 12 minutes went by before they netted the next goal. And then another one in the 78th minute. And a minute later, they scored the 11th goal. So now it was 11-1, and they still had 11 minutes left. Remember, they needed to win by 11 goals. So that goal by Malta in the first half made it that they now had to score 12. The commentators were calling the game with intensity. The crowd was going crazy. Finally, in the 84th minute, Senor, the one who had missed the penalty kick at the beginning, drilled one in from outside the penalty box to make it 12. 12-1. The 11 goal difference was there, and in fact they could have even scored more. It was an amazing second half. The atmosphere was electrifying. If Al Michaels had been calling the final seconds of the game, you could have heard him shout, "Do you believe in miracles?" the way he did in 1980 for the US hockey team. And a few minutes later, the whistle was blown. And the crowd went crazy. They poured onto the field. I'm sure Spain got a big fine for that. But you know, these are just moments in the history of sports where you sometimes have to understand. Anyway, after the game, there were some murmuring from some people, namely people from Malta and even the Netherlands, who wondered how such a result was really possible, especially the 9-goal second half. As you would expect, there were rumors of game fixing, but nothing, absolutely nothing, has ever come of it. I didn't see this game live because I wasn't in Spain at the time, and I wouldn't be arriving for a few years, but I heard plenty about it. It was sort of a you had to be there moment. Apparently, with like each cry of goal, it got louder and louder until the final winner unleashed a sort of nationwide moment of frenzy. I was so jealous. I wish I had been there. But eventually, I did get a chance to watch it. This is in the days before the internet or YouTube, so you couldn't count on that. But these were also the days when newspaper stands offered all sorts of prizes and gimmicks and collections for sale. Sometimes the papers themselves would promote collectibles like classic movies, DVDs, videos, books, history courses, dolls, coins, stamps, a million different things. And it just so happened that one of them was selling the famous game on video. So I got it, raced up to my place, and slipped it into the VCR and watched that sort of granular definition of an old game. It's not easy to watch compared to the high definition games today. The quality of the TV was poor. The cameras were sometimes blocked by spectators walking by or flags waving. And it was sort of funny in that sense. It was amazing to watch that game. And if you analyze it carefully, at least in my opinion, there is nothing about it that suggests the Malta team was throwing the game. They were just overwhelmed. And then Spain just had that moment where a team that is obviously superior and sees that something, that miracle can be done, well, they just came alive and just everything worked for them. I suggest going to YouTube and finding it. All you have to do is put España, Malta, and if you put 12 to 1, that should be enough. And you can get the whole game in Spanish. It's 90 minutes of fun and surprising tension. It's a game that was so magical that even though you knew how it was going to end, you found yourself riveted to the screen to see how it happened. Watching historic moments in sport, any country can be an amazing pastime, a lot of fun, definitely worth watching. And that'll be all for our different podcast today, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us with any comments or questions because we love the feedback. And in this case, if you want to tell us how you felt, if you were there watching the game, how you felt, that would be fantastic. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. You could do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And you can also check us out at our YouTube channel and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.